Rizzo later testified before a congressional subcommittee that Carey was blending gasoline with cheap, hazardous waste to jump his profits and provide funds for his brother's successful re-election campaign for governor in 1978. I could accept the girth, the wives, and the mixed brood of offspring, but the lawsuit and rumors that Rizzo had cooperated with the government were something else. Although his gasoline business was a plum, I decided to pass on it. But Lombardo refused to give up, pushing me to just meet with Rizzo, and after 7 months of his insistence, I finally relented. Rizzo and I met at Peter and Ari's restaurant in Smithtown, Long Island. He was already seated when I arrived, and although I could tell there was a mountain of flesh bubbling under the table, I was surprised that from the neck up, Rizzo looked like a normal person. Even below the neck, he wasn't sloppily fat. There were no rolls of lard flopping around his body or hanging down like melting wax from his arms. He was definitely an obese man, but he was also solidly packed. As he picked at his food, Rizzo outlined his impressive operation. He owned or supplied 300 gasoline stations in and around Long Island, an operation that grossed millions of dollars a month. His problem was that despite being rich and successful, he lacked power. He was having trouble with a group of men who were trying to extort him and muscle in on his supply stops. "I'd be very appreciative if you could help me with this problem," Rizzo said. I asked who was shaking him down, and it turned out to be a band of small fry associates of another family. Eliminating them wouldn't be a problem, I was sure. I was more concerned with learning about the Martin Carey incident. The fat man explained that it was a civil suit, meaning it was a personal battle between businessmen that didn't involve anyone ratting out to police or prosecutors. That made a difference with me. What Rizzo didn't admit to me that day was that he had previously reported Carey to both the police and the FBI. As I listened and observed, I noticed that Rizzo ate very little. This was notable because I had been told that the man had once eaten 50 hamburgers at a sitting and then consumed two large pizzas for dessert. During our entire relationship, I would never witness such a display. From the beginning, Rizzo maintained a policy of hiding his gluttony from me, and I took this as a sign of respect. Fixing Rizzo's problem proved to be easy. I sent out a squad headed by Vincent Aspromonte, a menacing figure who sported an ugly scar across his forehead. A butcher by trade, Aspromonte had acquired his image-enhancing scar in a knife fight, or an auto accident, depending upon which story one believed. Either way, the result was effective. The shakedown artists took one look at the scar and were never seen again.